That's Chris. Chris, that's you, right?
Are you a burglar?
I think he has headphones in.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Could be a burglar. A burglar. A burger murderer. Oh, that's good. My mouth's doing fun things these days.
Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie. And we're here to talk about singing and dancing and, wait for it, Mollywood.
Uh-huh.
Boys.
Mollywood Super Boys.
Yes, because we are talking about Super Boys of
You were ready, and then I think you got in your own head about it.
I did get in my own head about it.
I think it's just Mollygow.
Yeah, of yeah. Mollygow.
Yeah. And we were pretty close last week with how we pronounced it, so I think, yeah.
I'm also very happy that literally in the opening title sequence, they're like, this is how you pronounce this, white ladies.
They knew a lot of white people were going to be watching it, so they were like, let's just make this clear right out the gate.
Yeah, which I did appreciate.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, what were your thoughts?
I really loved this movie. It was exactly what I was hoping it would be. It was sweet. It was well crafted. It was a great story. It was a real story, so it had some heartbreak and some not so great moments, but it was overall just like a really sweet celebration of life and the movies and friendship and lots of other things I love.
Yeah, I didn't expect for this film to make me cry.
Oh, yeah.
It did, clearly, like, towards the end. That's it got me.
Absolutely.
I love how compelling, like, these smaller, again, quote-unquote, smaller stories are, because they're actually based on real human experience. And I love that that can actually be more drawing than, like, the glitzy, glammy action sequence where I'm like, I can't relate to this villain, you know, stealing or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But
chasing you down in a death chariot.
Yeah, but I think we can all relate to, like, the normal human flaws of, like, chasing your dreams, maybe at the expense of, like, your friendships and not realizing it in the moment and then trying to patch things up. Like, all of that stuff is so real and natural that I really loved it.
Absolutely. And I love that we get that discussion in this movie.
Like, yes.
It's a movie about making movies, and we get a conversation about, like, well, are movies for escapism or are movies for seeing yourself depicted, seeing your story told in a way that's relatable to you? And the easy answer is it's both, but it is I think it's fun when you kind of get to sit with, like, which of those things am I even just feeling in this moment? Which of those things do I prefer to be experiencing?
And I also think we kind of just stumbled into this at the perfect time, based on, like, what we've been kind of circling around the past few weeks and, like, the research that you've done in recent weeks, where it was about, like, the demise of, like, the small film industries and just kind of how Bollywood is changing and how all of these regional film industries are changing. And I'm like, oh my God, here is a film where this is literally, like, here it is. It's, like, showing it and talking about it. And that's not why we chose the film.
No.
It was just, we stumbled into it.
Yeah, we often will stumble into, like, a really nice, like, cohesive unit of episodes.
Totally intentional.
But I didn't even think about that, and the fact that, like, you know, I'm glad that we're giving space to this small movie after giving 2 weeks of space to, like, the biggest South Asian movies.
And to be fair, small is, like, maybe not the term to use when it's produced by the Akhtar family, but...
And also, I do feel like the Akhtar family, they have great respect for stories that show reality and are actual human people's stories. Even, like, Zindagi and Dil Dhadakne Do... Even though they are glitzy, glammy Bollywood-y, they're still real.
They're still real.
I think they celebrate this, too. So, let's get into our cast.
Yeah.
We have Adarsh Gaurav as Nasir.
Mm-hmm.
We have Shashank Arora as Shafiq. We have Vineet Kumar Singh as Farooq.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Muskan Jaferi as Shabina.
Yes. I loved her.
Yeah. But it is very much an ensemble cast. So
yes,
there's a lot of other characters, a lot of other important people. So
yeah. That's fun. I also, I know we're going to talk about it, but I want to talk about it now. I just love that the way that it's filmed and the way that it's written, I feel like I can only speak for myself as an audience member, but I was drawn to Shafiq from the very beginning.
Yes, yes.
And I just love how, like, it's not really his story, it's Nasir's story, but...
You leave the movie thinking about Shafiq, and yes. I think you don't realize that he was kind of the main character all along until you've gotten to the end. Yeah, I was reflecting on that too, and the fact that, like, I love Adarsh Gaurav, I think he did a great job in this movie. I was not thinking about his performance. I was thinking about Shashank Arora's performance. I had closed IMDb.
Yeah, because even in that first, like, main scene where, like, he's gonna get his chance to act and then it's like he doesn't, it's so compelling, like, the emotions that cross over his face, and I feel like you just, like, kind of get him right away.
Absolutely.
I love it. I'm excited to talk more about him and about everyone. Director.
Oh, yes, of course. The director is Rima Kagti.
Yes.
who I is one of my faves. Like, I just...
She's great.
I've yet to see a movie that I don't like that she directed. Like, I think she's just awesome.
Again, it's just that, like, being willing and actually wanting to sit with bare human emotions.
Yes. Yeah.
We're not trying to rush anything. We're just kind of in the moment.
Absolutely. And I respect that.
Me too.
Also, just love watching a woman direct a movie.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I didn't actually include this in my research, so I'm going to say it now. But I read a lot of articles about the film industry in Maligao. And a lot of what was talked about was that it really, at least in that time period that we're talking about, like the late 90s, early 2000s, is really like a brotherhood. And women weren't really featured, which we can see in the movie, kind
of. Yeah,
yeah. You know, it's... definitely more attention and more emphasis is placed on the men. And so I just really like that this story is being told by a woman.
Yeah.
I enjoy that little twist on it.
Absolutely. And I think we've seen this in other works by Rima Kagti and Zoya Akhtar that, like, even when women are not the central focus of their story, they still have great respect for the female characters who are showing up in their movies. And so, you know, however small they are, you can see that there's more to them than what I think a lot of men write women to be. So, yeah, I appreciate that a lot.
I mean, that's the whole thing about Shabina and, like, her character, because I'd say at most she's on screen for, like, maybe 10 minutes, you know? But each moment that she is, she's so, like, full of life, and she's this, like, powerhouse. And then when we get later on and she's talking
to Trupti about...
About, that... like, her situation, I'm like, boom, that was literally, like, a 15-second scene that conveyed so much.
Yes, and this is... I feel like we talk about this a lot, where it's like, it really doesn't take much. And it's great if there's more of it, but it really doesn't take much for you to just, like, these are women who are strong, who are resourceful, who are fully and completely themselves. They don't even need to be the main characters of your story. Just, like, let them be that, and we'll be happy. and also have them be the main characters of your story sometimes.
It was so well done.
Very well done. Well, let's get into more of the well done.
Yes, please. Good stuff. Yes.
So we open the movie in 1997 with a montage of our boys getting ready for their days. Mm-hmm. And in particular, we focus on Farooq, who is a hopeful writer, on Nasir, who works with his brother at a video parlor, and on Shafiq, who works in a factory.
Yes.
At their video parlor, Nasir likes to show the works of Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin, while the theater right next door shows the big hits of the day, like Judwa 2. Yeah. Was it Judwa 2 or was it just
Judwa? No, it was the original Judwa, yeah.
I don't know why I wrote Judwa 2 for some reason.
Something tells me Judwa was a lot more successful than Judwa 2.
It certainly looks like people were enjoying it, so that's good.
Yeah. T'was the high point, like the high era of Salman Khan.
Yeah. But so Nasir aspires to make movies in Mumbai, but his brother, who works with him at the video parlor, tells him that people only quit their jobs to chase their dreams in the movies. He sends Nasir off to buy a hit film to show at the parlor.
Yeah.
So Nasir rides into town with Shafiq, and on their way, we learn that Shafiq dreams of flying in a plane, and the boys gaze up at the sky and sing.
Yeah, this is gonna make me cry. I just, the motif of, like, planes and flying with Shafiq is so well done.
Yep.
I love it.
And then, it really gets you right in the heart, doesn't
it? That one scene really gets me. We'll talk about it when we get there, but yeah.
So, at the market, there's a guy at one of these, like, video stalls who shows Nasir how he can use two VHS players to cut out raunchy scenes from certain movies.
Mm-hmm.
And this gives Nasir an idea. And so he makes a tape that is just a bunch of great action sequences from multiple different movies.
Yeah.
And they start showing these tapes at the video parlor, and the audience loves it. They keep coming back for more.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Nasir and his friend Akram also work together as wedding videographers, and we see them at a wedding where they admire the work of a local celebrity, Asim Albela.
Mm-hmm.
Nasir also literally bumps into a woman named Shabina, and Nasir asks Shabina how her studies are going. She tells him that her mother wants her to quit to get married. Nasir tells her to marry a man who values education, and Shabina pointedly asks if he values education.
She's bold.
She's very bold.
I love that about her.
But he says that too much education can turn girls' heads.
Uh-huh.
And Shabina tells him to go for a dumb girl like Malika, which is not women supporting women, but I get it. Your crush is a crush on someone else. It's hard.
Yeah. Although I did really expect Malika to then be dumb.
No, yeah. Malika seems like a perfectly smart, normal person. Well, yeah. She gets, like, great grades on tests. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So.
Because, yeah, it is actually Nasir's exact plan to marry Malika. And she arrives at the wedding at this moment. And the two of them sneak off together to watch a Bruce Lee movie at the video parlor.
Mm-hmm.
Malika says her dad is starting to line up suitors for her, and Nasir says he'll talk to his brother, and the video business is doing well.
Yeah.
They then have an exchange about Bruce Lee and about movies that I really liked, where Malika says that she loves Bruce Lee, and she asks why he died so young, and Nasir says he's not dead, look at him kick.
Yeah. It's just beautiful. Live forever on screen.
Yeah, and just in people's hearts, and I just don't think that's so magical.
It's the power of cinema.
Exactly. But then shortly after this, the cops come and they get violent at the video parlor. They're beating people with batons and they rip the screen. They're accusing Nasir and his brother of piracy.
Yeah.
So the brother pays off the cops with cash and a new hit murder mystery. And as the cops drive away, one of the boys shouts out that Kajal is the murderer so he can ruin the movie for them.
Yeah, which we need to watch that movie as well.
I want to watch a movie where Kajal's the murderer. That sounds great.
I forget what it's called. Like, we've definitely looked into it before.
Yeah, we'll look into it again for sure.
Give us a different side. Kajal's no longer the girl next door. She's the murderer next door.
That's the tagline for the movie. Yeah. But so in the aftermath of this, Shafiq tells Nasir that he should go to Mumbai. But Nasir says there's 1,000 of him in Mumbai. He says instead they should bring Mumbai here and make movies in Malagaon.
Yeah.
He starts to do some research about filmmaking, but when he meets up with his friends at a tea shop to pitch this idea, they are less than impressed. The only friend who stands by him is Shafiq, who is just the sweetest and best person.
Yeah.
But even he has to leave in this moment to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
But then Raju, who works at the tea shop, tells Nasir he'll clear his debt if he casts him in the movie. So,
yeah,
this is good. We've got at least two people who are in.
Uh-huh.
Nasir tells his brother this plan, and the brother just says he won't get a penny out of him, and then he tells Nasir not to bring this up when they meet Malika's family, but Nasir almost immediately brings it up when the families meet.
Yep.
In response, Malika's father shows Nasir Malika's name in the newspaper for having passed a test that only 700 of the 35,000 students who took it passed.
Yeah.
He says they found a good boy for her in Mumbai.
Yeah.
So Nasir and Malika meet in an alley, they cry and they hug, and Malika tells him not to give up on his movie.
I appreciate this relationship.
Yeah.
You know, as short-lived as it is for us, the viewer, like, it's supportive. There's no, like, anger or strong negative emotion. It's like, we're both just sad this was taken out of our hands, and find happiness where you can, you know?
Yeah. Well, we still care for each other and want the best for each other.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Farooq, who again is the hopeful writer friend, has a fight with his parents where they call him a delusional oddball for his writing aspirations.
That's so, not what anyone wants to hear.
Definitely not. Not inspiring words from your parents at all. So he goes to Nasir and tells a story about how Buster Keaton drank so much he was institutionalized, but then he escaped in order to make one more movie. He tells Nasir he'll write his movie, and he'll get their friends on board as well. So the boys are in, they meet again at the tea shop, and Farooq says he has the perfect idea for a story called The Detective of Malagao.
Yes.
But Nasir shoots this down and says, nah, we're gonna make a remake of Sholay. It's gonna be Malagao's Sholay. And the boys are all in for this idea, even Farooq, if a little less enthusiastically, but Nasir promises they can make his movie next.
Uh-huh.
So they get to work, they take notes on the movie, and they scout locations, they work on the script, they buy makeup, and they hang up casting posters all over town.
Mm-hmm.
They hold auditions, but only one woman comes, and she refuses to uncover her face.
Yeah.
So that's not ideal for your heroine.
No, but I liked, it was something that I hadn't thought about, that yeah, like the town in which they live, no one wants their daughter's acting because that's seen as like kind of lowbrow, right? Like,
right.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just like that touch obviously makes sense when you're focusing on a town culture like that. But yeah. Me as an outsider, I was like, oh yeah, like, oh right.
Yeah, I feel like my white American instinct would be, like, you would have all women show up to your auditions
yes.
and no men. I'm just thinking of my own experience in musicals in
yeah.
high school. But, like, it's a completely different world in which, like, I mean, it's all men who are going to see the movies in the theater. It's heroes who kind of, you know, have the spotlight. So it's like,
yeah.
You do this if you're a man. It's a big, cool, powerful thing to do. But if you're a woman, oh, it's scandalous.
Yeah. Again, once again, it's just like the woman's experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We love to see it.
Yes.
They're also having trouble finding their Amitabh for Sholay. And Shafiq, who we have seen throughout this montage practicing his audition, he asks mm-hmm. if he can try. But before he can even start speaking, Raju bursts into the room and he wows them all with his Amitabh.
Yeah.
Nasir then meets a woman named Trupti, who is a dancer at weddings, and he offers her the leading female role.
Mm-hmm.
Trupti immediately says she won't accept less than 1,000 rupees per day. She wants her own makeup room, orange juice every day, and only bottled water. She knows her worth.
She's great.
She is.
Because I also feel like she pulls that out, but is still a little bit, like, surprised and proud of herself when
yes.
he agrees.
Yes, yeah. I love that moment. So, because, yeah, he agrees, and she kind of, like, plays it cool, but the minute he walks away, she's like, oh, yes!
Yeah.
But so, we see them do some screen tests, everything is looking good, Nasir is happy, but then he calls Malika's house, and her dad picks up, and he, like, can't say anything, and Malika
yeah.
like assumes that it was him who called, and everyone gets sad again.
Mm-hmm.
But so then it's the first day of shooting. The boys tie a camera to a bike to serve as a dolly, which is very clever.
I love this. Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, and I also love too that they nail their first scene with the second take, but Nasir has forgotten to hit record on the camera.
Yeah, yeah.
So they have to keep doing it, and they just, it takes many, many tries before they get it right again.
I just feel like these are the things that would happen to amateur filmmakers making their first film.
Yeah, a lot of giggles, a lot of awkwardness, a lot of, forgetting to hit record. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Their next shoot day is with Tripti, who they have given a rickshaw with a sheet over it as her makeup trailer. Tripti has also brought her infant son with her, and she and Shafiq have a nice moment where she introduces herself but says that she'll change her name when she's famous, and Shafiq says he thinks her name is nice.
Aww.
He's got a crush on her.
He does. And there are elements of this that remind me a lot of Rajkumar Rao's character in Ludo.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Down to, like, the hair, you know? Like, Shafiq he's very proud of his hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's just, like, really interested in this woman mm-hmm. who's, like, married, who's a mom.
But he'll, like, do anything for her.
Yes.
But Tripti is a lot nicer than, what's her name,
yes.
Pinky in Ludo?
I don't
She's
remember
just
her
manipulative,
name.
But
yeah.
Tripti's great.
Yes, she is.
Shafiq holds the baby while Tripti shoots her scene, and he comforts the baby by showing him an airplane that is flying overhead and says how one day he will fly in one.
Mm-hmm.
And then Akram is filming a wedding. He doesn't want Nasir to come with him, but Nasir comes anyway, and it turns out it's Malika's wedding.
Yeah.
And I wrote that this wedding video that he's shooting is going to turn out like the wedding video in Love Actually from like,
oh,
the guy
yeah,
who's in love with Keira Knightley.
Yes. Yeah.
It's very sad, and poor Malika, like, weeps as she, like, gazes back at him and, you know, is driving off.
Mm-hmm.
In the car. It's like, it's bad enough that you're not marrying the man you love, but, like, he's there? That's
yeah.
Rough.
I think I'd be like, please don't be there.
Can you
I
leave?
Can't.
Like,
yeah.
Be yeah. anywhere else but here. We then see Nasir and Farooq fight on set when Nasir agrees to insert what turns out to be like a literal commercial into
yeah.
the movie. Like when they're first talking about it, I think it's just going to be product placement.
Right.
But they're like, these matches are great.
Yeah. And then they look into the camera and light up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
and so Farooq says that he would rather steal money than sell out for a sponsor. And Nasir tells him that they can do this without him. But the filming continues, and when they wrap, everyone celebrates. And mm-hmm. just before the premiere, one of the boys, Aleem, announces that he's moving to Mumbai. He comes up later as being in Mumbai, so I figured I'd mention it, even though
yeah,
I haven't mentioned Aleem once yet.
And he, like, comes back.
Yeah. He comes back and forth. Yeah.
He's
got stuff going on.
He's one of, like, the friends on the outskirts.
He's, like, yeah, like a peripheral friend. Yeah.
Yeah.
So at the movie premiere, at first it looks like no one is coming, but then the crowd starts to trickle in. And Nasir gives a speech saying that the film was a labor of love and the rest is in Allah's hands. The movie starts, it seems like people are enjoying it, but Nasir can't stand being in the theater, so he leaves.
Yeah.
He asks Farooq what they do if they hate it, and Farooq unhelpfully says he should have thought of that before becoming a sellout.
Yeah.
But when the movie ends, the audience tells Nasir that he crushed it, and they hoist him and the other boys onto their shoulders and celebrate. This begins their very successful run of Malagao's Sholay. They are playing 6 shows a day, and the audience is even cheering at the commercial. They love it.
Yeah.
Soon after, Farooq asks Raju to clear his debt at the tea shop, but Raju says he only did it for Nasir because he cast him as the lead. He sees Nasir as being the one in charge.
Yeah.
Just then, Nasir rides up on a fancy new motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
The boys all sit together, and Farooq asks if they can make his movie next, but Nasir says they should do something similar to Sholay since it was so successful. Farooq says that he has an idea for something in that vein, and he pitches a new story about a lowly loom worker taking on a powerful tobacco tycoon. But Nasir says their sponsor likes the movie Sean, and he's paid them in advance, so that's what they're doing next.
Yeah.
Farooq gets upset, he insults Nasir, and says he uses people. He even used the hard-earned money of the townspeople to buy his new motorcycle. The fight gets physical, and when their friends separate them, Nasir dares Farooq to go to Mumbai, saying no one will even spit on him there. But Farooq says he will go to Mumbai, and he tells Raju he'll send him the money to clear his debt as soon as he's made it. And he reminds Nasir that the writer is boss.
I was a little bit shocked to learn that none of the other guys got any of that money.
Yeah, or that he paid them, like, so little that...
Right.
They had no idea. And now he's,
like, flaunting this, like, motorcycle.
Yeah, not great. Not great, Nasir.
No.
So we skip ahead in time to 2004, and the boys have continued to make movies, but their most recent one isn't playing as well as some of the others. Mm-hmm. Nasir says he's done making parodies and wants to do something original. And his brother's like, eh, maybe not. It's time for you to get married. And you're marrying Shabina.
Surprise!
And yeah, they get married.
Well, and I like that his brother's like, there are worse things than marrying a woman who loves you.
That's true. That's objectively true.
Yeah.
On their wedding night, Nasir tries to bribe his niece to sleep with Shabina, but the niece rebels, and it's awkward. But Shabina reassures him. Nasir asks if they can be friends before they take their relationship to the next level, and she says yes, as long as Nasir tells his brother that she can finish her law degree. Mm-hmm. Nasir laughs and says she was always made to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
We then see Nasir getting honored at some event or award ceremony or something, and the announcer says that Malagaus Cholet made 300,000 rupees, which comes as a shock to the other boys, who, like you said, really didn't see any of that money.
Nope.
Nasir then blows off Akram to take a picture with the local celebrity Asim Albela, and Asim asks Nasir to make one of his plays into a movie. Back at home, Shabina gets flirty with Nasir, but then asks if he still thinks about Malika. Nasir says he wants to forget about her, but he's scared to. And Shabina says he doesn't need to forget his first love, and not everyone is as lucky as her to get to marry their first love. And they kiss.
Yeah.
So that's nice. Things are going well in his marriage, if not in his friendships or filmmaking career.
Yeah.
Farooq, meanwhile, is not having much success in Mumbai, although he did get to meet Javed Akhtar and have his picture taken with him. So that's nice.
Yeah, I liked that little nod.
Yeah.
He's good.
Nasir pitches Asif Albela's movie to the boys, but they're still bitter that Nasir hasn't been paying them fairly, and Akram says that Nasir keeps all the credit for their hard work for himself. He says that they are going to work for another filmmaker. Once again, Shafiq is the only friend who stands by Nasir. Mm-hmm. Back in Mumbai, Farooq finds out that his father has died, so he heads home for the funeral. And at first it seems like everything, all of the post-Cholet drama, will be water under the bridge. But soon Farooq and Nasir get snippy, and Nasir says Farooq has accomplished nothing, and Farooq calls Nasir pathetic.
Yeah.
So this brings us to Nasir's next movie. They start shooting. Trupti is starring in this one too, but when Shafiq meets up with her to give her a ride to set, she is bruised and limping.
Yeah.
Shafiq is helping her cover her bruises with makeup when Nasir announces that one of the actors didn't show up to set. Mm-hmm. And so he asks Shafiq to take his place. Shafiq enthusiastically accepts the role and gives a performance that Nasir says touches his heart.
Yeah.
That night, Shafiq brings Trupti back to the bus stop, and she tells him that she's leaving her husband. Shafiq tells her she can count on him for anything, and Trupti leans in to kiss him, but just then the bus arrives.
Ugh.
And then we later see Trupti meeting with Shabina, like we said, to talk about the divorce, which happens really quickly, but I wanted to make sure we highlighted it again.
Yeah, I also just love that it was like Shafiq and Nasir brought the women to the meeting place, and then they were like, all right, we have nothing to do with this.
Shabina's literally like, I need to talk to my client. You can go somewhere else so I can do that.
Perfect. Yeah.
We then see Farooq trying to pitch his poor laborer versus tobacco tycoon movie to a producer in Mumbai who tells him no one cares about miserable movies. People go to the movies for an escape. Farooq disagrees, saying people want to see themselves on the big screen, but the producer tells him to write something more commercial. Farooq tells the producer his last two movies sucked and storms out.
Yeah, I also just think, like, the producer saying, oh, maybe try setting it in Mumbai. It kind of goes back to the conversation we had had between Laputa Ladies and All We Imagine as Light. Mm-hmm. Where there was just talk about, like, well, is this representative of India, you know, or, like,
Right. Yeah. This idea that, like, a movie set in rural India is more representative of India. That was the argument that was being made in the case of Lapita Ladies. Yeah, I think it's just so interesting because it's like there's literally a billion people who live in India. And sure, most of them live in rural areas, but a lot of them live in the cities.
So it's,
you know, you like there's a really wide range of people's experiences that you can be telling stories about.
Yeah, which I think is why we see people drawn to, yes, like the flashy escapism, but also the more realistic daily human problems.
Right.
It's like, we like all of it.
Exactly. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find people who don't legitimately enjoy that full spectrum of movie going. And if you don't, I know that there are people who are like, all that other stuff is trash. And I'm just like, have a little fun. Trash is fun, as we've talked about many times.
You have like the serious moviegoers who are like, oh, I could never see something that's like supported by a big, you know, production company. And then there's the other spectrum where it's like, I only watch superhero movies.
Yeah.
And I'm like, everyone, just open your minds.
I feel like most people fall, like, in between on that spectrum. And I also think important, too, to remember that, like, sometimes the people who fall exclusively onto that, like, superhero part of that spectrum, again, it can be because they can only go see one movie, so they're gonna go see the one that's, like, super entertaining and, like, really does, like, get you out of the experience. So, like, if you've only got time to see one movie and you want to escape, that's what you're gonna go for.
There
but
it is.
Just to say, I feel like those numbers get skewed inaccurately towards those movies, when in reality, if people had more options available to them, they would explore more options.
I agree with that.
The Asif Albela movie premieres, and Nasir has cut Shafiq almost entirely out of it.
Yeah.
Shafiq leaves the theater upset by this. Troopti follows him and tells him Nasir should have stood up for him, because Nasir said that it was Albela who wanted to cut him out of the movie.
Yeah, or like at least tell Shafiq before the premiere.
Exactly. Like, why would you just let him go into it not knowing that that was going to happen?
Yeah.
But Shafiq asserts that Nasir has done so much for him, and he says that when they were filming Sholay, it was the first time he actually enjoyed waking up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
The movie goes on, and the audience start leaving before it's over, and the movie's a total flop. Nasir's brother tells him their ticket sales won't cover the costs of making the movie. They're going to have to close the video parlor. So this brings us to 2010, the year I graduated high school. And we see that the parlor is now a restaurant. And Nasir sits behind the counter and gazes longingly at the movie theater next door that's still going strong.
Mm-hmm.
And then poor sweet Shafiq is diagnosed with cancer. And the doctor tells him that he will need to start chemotherapy immediately. When they get home from the hospital, they meet up with Akram and Irfan, who I think this is the only time I mention Irfan, but he's here too. And they congratulate Shafiq on getting a rich man's disease, and they all laugh.
Yeah.
Nasir thanks Akram for coming, but he says that they're here for Shafiq and not for Nasir, so that bad blood is still very much there.
To be fair, Nasir hasn't made any attempt at, like, recovering those relationships.
Certainly not that we've seen. Yeah, no.
Yeah, accepting responsibility for his part in things. Yeah.
No. Yeah, absolutely not. So Shafiq's chemo progresses. We see Troopti visit him. We see Aleem visit him. And Aleem tells him about Farooq throwing water in the face of a producer he was pitching his movie to.
Yeah.
Shafiq then asks if they can call Farooq, which they do, and then he gives the phone to Nasir, who asks Farooq when he's coming home. Farooq says he comes home often in his thoughts, but now he'll come home for real.
Mm-hmm.
And so he does, and he meets up with the boys at Nasir's restaurant, and they have a nice reunion.
Yeah.
After dinner, Farooq asks Nasir why he stopped making movies, and Nasir says he lost all his money with Albela's movie, and he used to think of himself as this great filmmaker. And Farooq tells him that he is a great filmmaker. And he praises Nasir for telling real stories, their stories, the stories no one else in the world could have told.
Mm-hmm.
He says Nasir has added a page for Malagao in the history of Indian cinema, which is a really nice thing to say.
Yeah, and I think it's true.
Yeah.
based on like the true story. Yeah.
Yeah. I look forward to hearing more about that. Then the boys get the news that Shafiq's cancer has not responded to chemo, and the doctors tell them that all they can do is make him comfortable.
Yeah.
On their way home from the hospital, Shafiq asks if they can stop at a waterfall, and as they stand at the top, he says he shouldn't be afraid to die, but he feels like he's dying without having achieved anything, and we see a plane fly overhead.
Ugh, yeah, that got me.
Yeah, that was very sad.
I was like, this is already a sad moment. Did we really need the plane flying over?
We really had to rub it in. But yes, we did.
Yeah, it was very well done.
Nasir wakes up in the middle of the night with an idea. He grabs a wad of cash, a DVD of Superman, and tells Shabina that Buster Keaton wasn't crazy, the world was. Yeah. I just really liked all the references to Buster Keaton.
I did too, and I love Nasir's appreciation of Keaton and Chaplin. Like,
it's good stuff.
It's very cool, yeah.
Nasir goes to Farouk and says he's going to fulfill his promise and make Farouk's movie. But what if the poor laborer was Superman? And what if Superman was Shafiq?
Yes.
He then gives Farouk the money and tells him the writer is boss. Nasir asks Shafiq's doctor to come to Malagao every week, offering him the role of Shafiq's father in the movie, and the doctor agrees, saying he always wanted to be an actor.
I just love that there's no gatekeeping with these movies either, where it's like, yeah, you just promised the local, like, whatever. Yeah, you can have a role. Like, it's fine. We don't need to see your acting talent. Yeah.
Yeah, if you need a favor from somebody, just put him in your movie. That's that's like nepotism of a kind, I'm sure.
Yeah, but it's like the fun kind of nepotism where it's like, "Oh, hey, that's my neighbor."
I think for these like smaller, you know, local movies, it's fun to see the people you know on screen for sure.
Yeah.
But so with all these pieces in play, Nasir and Farouk pitch the story to Shafiq. He will be Superman, and he has been sent to Earth to be raised by a poor family, but he gets addicted to tobacco and then sets out to take down the tobacco tycoon.
Yeah.
And Aleem comes back. Yay.
Oh, right. That guy.
I don't know why I was so determined to, like, track whatever Aleem was up to.
Yeah, I don't know. Bachi disagrees as well.
What are you doing? Nasir asks Shafiq to ask Akram to play the villain, and Akram agrees before finding out that this means he will need to shave his luscious locks and be completely bald, because he's Lex Luthor. He's got to be bald.
Yeah. He looks great either way, though.
He does. Yeah, he can pull off the bald thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then Shabina gives Nasir 30,000 rupees of her savings and asks for a producer's credit. So that's also nice.
Yeah.
Nasir tells her this movie will need to be an all-time classic. Filming starts, and we see Shafiq riding to set on his bike in his superhero costume with cheering kids chasing after him.
Yeah.
Crowds gather admiringly as they film, and Farouk shows off his picture with Javed Akhtar.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see Nasir set up a green screen and put a confused Shafiq in front of it, pretending to fly.
I like how they did it with, like, the wooden board.
Yeah, he's, like, laying on a board, and then they've got his cape sort of on wires to, like, move it around.
That's cool.
Shafiq says Nasir has gone crazy, but Nasir says they're making magic. Then, as they shoot the scene where Shafiq's father sends him to Earth in an inner tube, cool choice, and Shafiq is floating away shouting that he'll be back, and Nasir gets so emotional that he trips and he drops the camera in the river.
I was really worried that it was going to be like, well, that's the movie, it's gone, but we learned from this experience, you know, like, I'm glad that wasn't the case.
I know, I was worried about that too, but everyone jumps in the river to save the camera. They don't try to save Shafiq, who is just floating away on this inner tube. He has to roll himself off of it before he floats off down the river.
Yeah, and he can't swim.
But luckily it's shallow enough that he's fine. And I just, it's just funny. Like, he comes back, he's soaking wet, and everyone's like, what happened to you? So yeah, that's it's a good moment. And then we also see them shoot a love scene with Tripti, and then a climactic scene of Shafiq saving Tripti from Akram, and then he faints in the scene when she winks at him. She's the heroine, and he's in love, and it's great.
That's so cute.
So then we get to the premiere, and Nasir introduces Shafiq and says that his hidden talent is Malagao's pride.
Mm-hmm.
The audience gives Shafiq a standing ovation as he enters, and he adopts full hero swagger, blowing a kiss to Troopti and striking a pose before taking his seat.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's like his moment.
It is his moment. It's fully his moment.
Yeah.
The movie starts, the audience loves it, but Nasir keeps turning to watch Shafiq for his reactions. And then the scene comes where Nasir had used the green screen to make it look like Shafiq is flying. The audience is in awe of the special effects, and Shafiq turns to Nasir with tears in his eyes and salutes him.
Yeah. Because he got to fly!
Yeah, it's a very sweet, very emotional and impactful moment. Mm-hmm. But so that's the end of the movie. We get updates about each of the boys. Shafiq sadly died in 2011. He was only 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say Farouk died. So it's just like the double punch. Farouk died in 2020. Yeah. He was only 45. The rest of the boys are alive.
Yes.
Irfan and Akram are both still in the Malagao film industry. Aleem is a published author. And Nasir and Shabina live in Malagao with their three children.
Yeah.
We get a final shot where we see the real Nasir smile at us from behind a projector. And then finally, we see thanks given to Feza Ahmad Khan for the documentary Supermen of Malagao.
Mm-hmm.
And I was immediately like, I want to know everything. But I was like, I assume that Katie's going to be doing some research into some of this. So I'm not going to Google anything about these guys.
I mean, yeah, the sad thing is that there's not a lot to find. Like, I think it is still very niche. Yeah, like, and I was honestly more compelled by the idea of this, like, Malagao film industry.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so some quick facts about Malagao. It is a city less than 200 miles from Mumbai, known for its textile and plastic recycling industries.
Ah.
And I think as of the most recent census, it was around like 600,000 people.
Okay.
So it's not
a big place.
Small. Yeah. Now, granted, I think that also factors in like the outer lying, like more rural areas. But yeah. So you could see how like a film industry could thrive and have people coming to see six shows a day.
Absolutely. Yeah. 600,000 people. That's plenty.
Yes. Yes. That's the population of Vermont.
Yeah.
And Malagao does have its own film industry, as we've said, referred to as Mollywood, which became popular in the early 2000s with the directorial rise of Nasir Sheikh. So,
nice.
Yes. I then found an article in the New York Times called His Bollywood Spoofs Brought Joy to a Mill Town, Then Bollywood Came Calling, written by Mujib Mashal. And so Mashal writes about how Nasir did not just set out to make his own movie. He actually fully intended to get a film industry in Malagao going.
Oh, wow. Okay. So he had big ambitions.
He had big ambitions. He was like, let's do this. Like, this isn't just about us making a film and becoming, like, famous. This is about, like, starting something bigger than ourselves. And he decided that the best way to do this, as we see in the film, was to recreate popular movies but change them enough to avoid copyright infringement. Because apparently it's pretty common for video parlors, or at least video parlors of that time, to kind of do the pirating that we see in the film.
Okay.
Because I was surprised, you know, in the movie, they're like, I didn't know that was illegal. But apparently that kind of like splicing together scenes from like already, you know, out there films, that's pretty common. So, or at least was. So that was an interesting tidbit, I thought.
That is interesting. Well, and I thought it was funny how he, like, gets accused of pirating movies and then is like, I know, I'll remake a full movie. And I was like, that's not the way you avoid piracy allegations. But but I guess if you're, you know, you're making it, like, different enough that it's just, you know.
I mean, because then we get into the whole, like, all the remakes that are, like, scene for scene, like, remakes of other language films. And it's like, where do we draw the line? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure I did research on that one time.
You definitely did. And I think there have definitely been instances of people, like, just fully, like, robbing ideas and not, like, giving or receiving permission. Not giving credit or receiving permission.
Which, coincidentally, I feel like usually in those cases, it does work out in Bollywood's favor. So, you know, maybe we're cool with
maybe we can Bollywood's big enough, like, little, you know, little bites here and there aren't gonna damage the whole. Yeah,
it's fine.
So here we are endorsing pirating copyright infringement. Yeah, don't come for us.
Specifically in, like, the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yes. Yeah,
so it already happened.
Yeah,
it's fine. Why not was Nasir's philosophy, like, about everything, which
why not crazy dance.
Yeah, just like Hilary Duff.
What do these two have in common?
Oh, that's fun. Marshall writes that Nasir's productions tapped into something universal, the dream of something more in a place where the routine is stifling and any mobility is out of reach. Varun Grover, who wrote the screenplay for Superboys of Malagao, said that most children in India grew up wanting to become either a cricket player or a movie star, even though the odds of either were impossibly small. The story of Malagao is not just inspiring for those who want to come to cinema, but for any person who dreams at night but moves on from it in the morning, Grover said. They turn their night's dreams into their day's reality.
Yeah. As somebody who used to want to be an actor, I can appreciate that very much.
Yeah, and it's like they made it happen in the way that they could, which is very cool. And one fun fact about Nasir's approach to movie making is that one of the most famous scenes in Chalet shows Gabbar Singh's thugs on horseback ambushing a train. Nasir obviously could not afford horses or a train, so instead of a train, he used a bus, and he was like, okay, we're going to put all the thugs on bicycles. Every thug on a bicycle. That's just going to be consistent.
Sure.
And I love that.
Yeah, I love that too.
And as an audience member, I wouldn't fault that choice, you know?
No, absolutely.
And as Nasir found success with his parodies of Bollywood films, he did encounter more red tape. Police would not allow screenings unless Nasir obtained a certificate from the censor board. Which kind of makes sense.
I mean, it does, yeah.
To get approved for one movie, and they didn't say which movie this was, but yeah, I'm not sure. He had to travel back and forth to Mumbai repeatedly for a year.
Oh, man.
He did a lot to make this happen for himself.
Definitely.
And in the early 2000s, the film industry was also changing. The rise of multiplex cinemas and online streaming caused video parlors like the one Nasir's family owned to shut down. Mm-hmm. Eventually, just like in the film, Nasir moved on from making movies. Rima Kakti, the director, said that the passion of the Malagao group of friends allowed her to explore fundamental questions about what cinema means to places where there is little else. Kakti said, this film needed to encapsulate a lot of things, starting from the magic of cinema. Why do we go to the cinema? Why do we need cinema? And why do we need to see ourselves represented in art? Mm-hmm. Which I was like, yeah, it is. It's like an ode. This film's an ode to movies.
It really is, yeah.
And it does raise all those questions and allow us, and not really give us the answers. It kind of allows us to sit with our own interpretations.
It does, yeah, to find the answers to those questions for ourselves, and also giving really nice, sweet answers, like, to immortalize people, you know?
Yeah. And so the passion for movie making in Malagao remains high even today. Which brings us to an article that was in Scroll called Malagao's Local Film Scene, Mollywood Inspired Bollywood, But the Textile City Has Moved On, written by Nandini Ramnath. So this article was more kind of about the Malagao, like, film industry itself, less specifically about Nasir.
Okay.
This article. Other Malagao filmmakers have followed in Nasir's footsteps, but the films they create have moved away from parody to generic comedy, produced for YouTube.
Ah, so, oh yeah, they said that Akram was like a YouTube producer. Okay, cool.
So what I've kind of put together is that today's film industry in Malagao is predominantly, if not completely, all for YouTube.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, so they're not really releasing, like, traditional films. Yeah. They're filming things to put on YouTube, which
I like that.
Very cool. They've yeah.
They've pivoted with the times, yeah.
It's accessible, too. And Nasir told the author of this article, Ramnat, that when he was young, cinema was the only form of entertainment. Before he decided to make his first film, a few films had already been made in Malagao, but they weren't popular. They never took off. Nasir realized that rather than trying to completely replicate Bollywood, which I guess is what those earlier films were trying to do, Malagao films needed a dose of localized humor. Which we can see, like, which I love that they managed to show that in the film. So Malagao films were never shown in theaters, which is also really interesting. Instead, they circulated through video parlors or were watched at home.
Okay.
Which we see, but I feel like maybe because of the status of being, like, an outsider to, like, the Indian way of life in rural areas, I didn't really put together that it wasn't being shown in theaters and it was more of the smaller, independently owned parlors.
Yeah, the distinction there is really helpful because I was also sort of struggling with, like, okay, we've got the theater, but then we've got the video parlor. We're calling them two different things. And there was also a moment where, like, one of the movies, I think Sholay, you see Shabina and a bunch of women, like, watching it at home together as opposed to, like, going out to the theater. And so I was like, that's interesting that, like, they were able to do that, but this makes sense that this is just another way that they're showing it.
Yeah.
And what an interesting dynamic to, again, just kind of, like, suggest and hint at that, like, the women kind of have to stay home, but they still get to have this experience. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And other sub-region film industries have emerged in places like Ladakh, Chhattisgarh, and Assam, driven by the desire for local representation of language, cultural practices, character types, and music.
I love that.
And these types of films all appeal to their own individual local audiences.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, and I love to see it. Like, India is such a huge country with so many people who come from so many different walks of life and different experiences. So, like, of course this would happen, but I had never thought about it.
Well, and I love the idea, too, that they don't need to become globally recognized or even, like, nationally recognized. It's like, we're doing this for us to tell our stories, and there's a lot of beauty in that.
Yeah, I love it. Bollywood did begin to take notice of Mollywood around 2010 or so, and Nasir actually directed a Mr. Bean-inspired series for three seasons between 2010 and 2014.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. After a few more projects, Nasir decided to return to Malagao because he'd never wanted to work long-term in Mumbai.
Sure, yeah.
He was like, this isn't me. He liked being a big fish in a small pond.
Yeah.
The interest Bollywood had in Mollywood proved to be fleeting. And even though people in the Bollywood entertainment industry loved the Superman spoof, no one involved in the film other than Nasir was offered work, which, again, we do kind of see.
Yeah.
So Akram Khan, the man who played the villain in Nasir's films, began to capitalize on the interest in short-form content and comedy skits that was growing in the region. Khan says that the first video he posted on YouTube took off, and YouTube has given him what the Mumbai film industry didn't. A name, fame, and money.
That's so cool.
Right? Because also, and I love that, like, having that context and then thinking about his character in Superboys, like, he mentions that. And that that's what he felt like Nasir got that he didn't and how unfair that was. But then he was able to still find that.
This whole story is about people, like, finding their way to accomplish what they've always wanted to accomplish. And it's very inspiring. And just, like, the grit and the savviness to, like, I'm going to carve out my little niche in this world and I'm going to make the stuff I want to make for people to enjoy in whatever way I can is really cool.
Yeah, it is. Which I think you hear a lot of stories about that, like, regarding YouTube.
Yeah, I like YouTube.
a lot of people do. Who doesn't? Why wouldn't we? Akram is no longer upset that his Mumbai dreams did not work out because Malagao took care of him.
Aw.
Yeah. Which I love. He's like, I didn't need to go to the fancy big city for this. I've got everything I need right here.
Yeah.
Ramnath ends the article by writing about the demise of small local theaters, which, again, I feel like we've kind of been discussing.
Yeah.
And that the world has been experiencing, especially since the pandemic. But gone are the days of 100 people flocking to see a movie. Now, a theater is lucky to get 25. Nasir says that the passion, energy, and sense of fun that animated older Hindi films is gone. Earlier, we used to talk about films for weeks on end, he said. Now we click on something and move on if we don't like it. Mm-hmm. I don't seek out films anymore. I just follow the hits. Which I think is true for a lot of people, myself included.
Absolutely. Like, that does hit close to home. Movies don't, like, linger with you maybe as much as they used to, even if they are as good as movies that were coming out before, but because attention spans are shorter and there's so much content getting beamed at us constantly. I mean, it's kind of like the same spirit behind binge watching, where, like, you don't sit and savor a show anymore. You don't, like, sit and wait for a week to find out what happens next. You just click next episode and there you are.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it's a sad truth. And also the thing about the local theaters made me particularly sad because, like, two of my favorite movie theaters in this area have closed down in the last few years. And
we're the Roxy gone?
The Roxy's gone, and then Palace 9 is gone, and so it's just Majestic 10. Yeah. It's really sad. But Majestic 10 is the one that plays the
Hindi
and sometimes Telugu movies, so that's fun. But anyway, it is sad to, like, think about how much the world has changed, and not to be, like, that person, but back in my day, you know, back in back in the days when there wasn't that sort of constant content, people were kind of happier, you know? And there were definitely a lot of reasons to not be happy in those days, too, but, like, yeah, I think it was just generally, like, people were happier and better at entertaining themselves and enjoyed things more when they had the chance to get that entertainment from the movies and such. And
yeah,
it's interesting.
It's like with anything, where there's been really good things about the advancements in every part of life, and then there's also, like, the bittersweet or objectively bad things about those advancements.
And I think, like, I'm realizing we can literally just use YouTube as that example, because, like, here's Akram Khan, who's made a career, and all these other people who have made careers streaming on YouTube and found their way to, like, create their craft. And also, it is a contributor to the, you know, the way that people's attention spans function now. I mean, I think social media is more to blame, but certainly the rise of that kind of, like, short form burst of entertainment.
Yeah. And what's interesting, I left this out of my research that I talked about, but Khan, he also talked about how even YouTube is now being phased out. So he, like, YouTube was how he got his name. And I do think if you got in at the right time, you can still have a following and be relatively successful. But he was saying now everything's shifting to Instagram and TikTok. Like, now we're getting to even shorter form content. And he's like, I, you know, can't really keep up with that. So he's actually starting a podcast now.
What language is it in?
That's the question. We probably can't understand it.
I would listen, but I'd like to know what he's saying. Yeah, that is really interesting. It's like, I don't know. I kind of hope that it's just like anything else, where, like, sometimes it has to get worse before it gets better. So, like, you know, now we're in the phase of, like, TikTok, where it's, like, literally, like, seconds to minutes is the amount of time you can keep a person's attention. Like, maybe we start to go back the other way now that it's getting that bad.
I mean, I'm going to bring up something that we don't have time to fully discuss right now, but I'm excited to talk about it with you at a later date. I'm currently listening to Sage Warrior.
Okay.
I know.
Great.
Bottle that up. I'm very excited to talk to you about it. I was like, I can't mention this before we start recording, because we'll talk about it for like 20 minutes. But in Sage Warrior, one of the things she mentions is that the world is constantly, like, in a state of, like, renewal.
Yeah.
And that, like, don't think of it as the darkness of the tomb. Think of it as the darkness of the womb.
Yes.
And I was like, that is profound.
Yeah.
That, like, we're always in a state of rebirth. And so it's like things get worse in preparation to get better and be reborn. So just going to bring that in here.
Yeah. little dose
wisdom.
Of, yeah, Valerie Kaur's sick mm-hmm. wisdom. That's beautiful.
Yep.
Yeah. One other thing that I was thinking about as you were kind of telling the story of your research mm-hmm. was Minal Murali. Talk about another Mollywood.
Yes.
But I was thinking about how that movie is so, like, you know, they made it on such a tight budget, and you can, if you watch any of the, like, behind the scenes videos, you see the way that they used all these practical effects because that was all they could afford, and it became this, like, huge movie. And I don't know this for a fact, but, like, I'm pretty sure it moved the Malayalam film industry into, like, a bigger direction. More people are kind of aware of it now that Minal Murali was on Netflix and it was available for people globally to stream. It, like, brought attention mm-hmm. to this film industry, which was always bigger than, like, these smaller, like, local industries we're talking about. But, like, I just think that's cool. And
it is.
I love the idea of attention getting drawn to these places where movies mm-hmm. are getting made, even if it's not necessarily the goal of those movies to become famous or achieve some kind of acclaim, if they're just making it for the people who love them. And again, it's a really nice thing. I'm feeling very warm and fuzzy after this, even with the sort of buzzing of some of the just like negative stuff about society there. Largely, it's feels very positive.
That's good. I like that we're like, we end on some optimism, because I feel like the past couple of episodes we've, you know, had cause and reason to focus on some more negative things.
Definitely.
And now, we're going to end on the upswing.
Yes. Yeah.
So, Bollywood stuff.
Yeah. I was going to say, I've got some more upswing for you here.
Yeah. Oh, man. Let me have it.
Two things. The first is, the day that we are recording is the day after DQ's birthday.
Happy birthday, DQ!
Happy birthday, DQ, one of our absolute faves, always and forever. I love that he, because I follow him on Instagram, and he had like 400 stories on Instagram, because he, not 400, but you know, he had like tons
a lot.
Of them, because it seemed like he was literally just anybody who like made a story wishing him happy birthday, he just like shared it on his page, which
That's
I just think
sweet.
Is adorable. Like, that just feels like such a sweet thing to do when you're like a humongous celebrity and you're like, all these people wish me happy birthday.
Yeah, he's got like a sweet boy face, and so it's really great to know he is a sweet boy.
Yeah, like literally one of the comments that I read was someone being like, it's rare for someone to be as sweet and charming as they look. And I was like,
yes boom, he's got it. I love him.
So that's piece of news number one, and peas number two.
Peas be with you.
Just give peas a chance. And piece number two is, we got a full trailer for War 2. Yes.
Okay.
And it is very entertaining.
Good.
It seems like we're pitting Rithik and NTR Jr. like against each other, but it's also like they're cut from the same cloth. Like, the whole trailer is them like going back and forth, kind of like sharing a monologue, if that makes sense.
I'm gonna want them both to succeed.
I know. Who will they're root for? Okay,
so they're foils of each other.
Yes.
Yes.
And then there is also one moment in particular that I wanted to mention, where Rithik is gazing lovingly at a framed picture of Tiger.
Amazing. Good. They were like, we still have to get that homoerotic energy in here.
We got it.
Love it.
Even as he's like kissing Kiara Advani, we've got to get.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
The love for Tiger.
I also
never
forgot
expires.
That she's in it. Oh,
yeah.
This is gonna be great.
I know, I'm really excited about it. I think it's coming out in like just a few weeks. So we're
it's in August.
Yeah, we've got to be ready for it.
I'm gonna check my local theater that occasionally shows Hindi films.
Yeah. I am too. I feel like it might play, and I think I could probably scrounge up at least one person to go with me, so.
Yeah. I know what I'm going to pull up this evening. I'm going to watch that trailer.
Absolutely, you should.
I did have a question for you, because it randomly occurred to me today. When's Boggy 4 coming out?
Oh, I will look that up.
You're more in the know than I am.
I did see Tiger posted something on Instagram recently that was like, I'm sorry that there's been so little information about this.
I hope it's not one of those cases where they filmed the whole movie and then they were going to the editing room and they were like, ooh, this is a bad...
It's release date September 5th.
Oh!
So very soon, it seems. Boggy 4 is scheduled to be released September 5th, yeah.
Okay, all right.
So that's something to look forward to as well.
That's another one I might have to see in theaters.
There's also a Prabhas movie coming out in early October that's like a horror comedy, which I'm super excited about. So we've got a lot of good stuff.
We do like that.
Yeah.
And maybe if it comes out in early October, maybe there's a chance we'd be able to access it. Probably not.
Probably not. The theater near me has definitely played Telugu movies before, and I feel like this could be one that they might do.
I mean, it's Prabhas.
It's Prabhas! There was also someone for DQ's birthday who posted something that was like, my two favorite actors to work with are Dulquer Salman and Prabhas. And I was like, did someone make this for me? Was this just to give me joy?
Amazing. I mean, that's a great pair.
It is a great pair. Anyway, that's the Bollywood news.
Oh, thank you. That was delightful.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
So, pluggables. Follow us at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Do what you do there. Mm-hmm. Also, consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You could even, if you dare, leave a rating or a review.
Yeah.
But whatever you choose to do or not to do, thank you so much for listening.
No matter how daring you are, thank you for for joining us.
I say that as a not daring person myself.
Right, so. Yeah. And thank you for supporting us by listening to our little project that we do to,
exactly.
You know, do something creative and fun in the world. Yeah, and also YouTube and Spotify, we have our Bollywood Bangers playlist where you can find the songs that we love from the movies that we watch that have musical numbers to add. And if you want to listen along with us there, you can find those links in our episode descriptions as well as in our Instagram posts.
Yes. And now.
Yeah.
Very excited about our next film.
We separately had the same idea, but, probably understandable after watching this movie.
Yes.
That we would watch Sholay for next time.
Yeah, we've been talking for a while about how we wanted to watch Amitabh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, old school Amitabh.
Yeah.
And then we watched this, and it just feels right.
Yeah, it absolutely does. So on IMDb, our plot description is, after his family is murdered by a notorious and ruthless bandit, a former police officer enlists the services of two outlaws to capture the bandit.
That sounds great.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, so it is available to watch on Tubi. And the synopsis on Tubi says, this iconic film follows a pair of small-time crooks who are hired by a retired police officer to capture a notorious... That's not a word.
What does it say?
Dacoit?
Dacoit, yeah.
Is that a word?
That is a word, yeah. I don't know what it means, but dacoit.
Wow, who knew I would learn a new word in English?
A member of a band of armed robbers in India or Burma.
Oh, okay.
So that's why. It's very specific. Sense. But I've definitely heard that word before.
Okay, I apologize for saying that's not a word. Clearly it is a word. My bad.
Just wasn't a word you knew yet.
No, and now I do. But yeah, I mean, I'm so excited. I feel like, this movie comes up all the time as one of like the greatest Bollywood classics.
Yeah.
Yeah, so bring it on.
I know. I'm excited to experience it. This is also going to be the earliest movie we've watched by like over a decade. So that's going to be fun too.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
So enjoy it. And until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
No.
But we need Bollywood.
And we all need to create.
Yeah.
For ourselves, for each other. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Whatever that looks like for you.
Yeah.